Morning, it's a beautiful day. It's April 25th. It's April 25th. The month is a third of the year is a third of the way gone already. Praise the Lord. Next weekend is next month. Wow. Things are moving quickly. Nice and sunny right now. It is supposed to rain later. It was 70 degrees yesterday for those people down south that have been missing this wonderful weather. Pay no mind to the 4 inches of snow we got earlier in the week. Praise God. I want to talk this morning about helping hands. Being an assistance. Doing what we can to aid others. Ecclesiastes 9 verse 10 says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might, for there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you are going. In other words, as long as we're above ground, we have an opportunity to do things. We have an opportunity to make decisions. We have an opportunity to help. We have an opportunity to make a difference. Once we're no longer above ground, no more opportunities to do that sort of thing. We're done in the physical. We live on eternally because the soul is eternal and we have eternal life. But while we're here is the opportunity we have to make a difference in somebody else's life. And the story of the rich man and Lazarus. You remember Jesus is telling this parable. Lazarus died and was carried unto Abraham's bosom. The poor man that sat at the gates and the dogs licked his sores. Poor guy had some health issues, had a lot of problems. He died and went on to paradise, to Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died. And he was in torment. And looking through this great gulf, he saw Lazarus in Abraham's bosom, and he said, Father Abraham, send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in cool water to cool my tongue, because I'm in torment. And Father Abraham said, no, there's a great gap between us. No one from here can go there, no one from there can come here. And then the rich man says, well, have him go back to my brothers, those of my father's house, to tell them that they don't show up here. And Father Abraham says, they have the law and the prophets. Let them hear them. Once you died, that was your choice. That was your opportunity. And it's squandered. Many years ago, in here we did a video study of John Bevere's Driven by Eternity. And it talks about how, you know, when you take our 70 years or 120 years or however many years we happen to end up with, and you plug it in the mathematical formula and compare that to eternity, it's not even a blip. It's just, you know, not even the twinkling of an eye. And our eternity is determined by the things we do in this little bitty, not even a blink of an eye. So the things we do are important. So when we have an opportunity, when God has made a provision, when God has made a divine appointment for us to reach out and to help somebody and to be a blessing to somebody or reach out and be an encouragement to somebody, that's one of those things that's a gift of God. God can use you as a gift in somebody else's life. God used somebody else as a gift in your life. Praise God. Has anybody ever been blessed by somebody? Amen. God has done some wondrous things. God has sent people in our path and just done such great things. We were at the Freedom and Liberty Conference this weekend, and the husband, JC, was talking about an event that happened right after his wife lost her job as a assistant district attorney because she was a little more conservative than the district attorney, and there was some issues there. But shortly after that, They've been on the news. It was a big, some big turmoil in the area, and it was on the local news. And a woman wrote them a letter saying how that they had been watching the news and the children had seen it and decided that they wanted to take their allowance and send it as a blessing to this couple. And I don't remember the exact amount, but after the period was 13 cents, like $135.13. And it's like, who does that? You know, you round up, you round down. Who sends a check for that much and 13 cents? So I thought it was rather strange until 2 days later, their electric bill came in and it was that exact amount. Just something to let you know, God knows what's coming in your life. Has God done as that in your life? Has God used people in your life like that? He's certainly done it in mine. God is faithful in all of His ways. Here in Ecclesiastes 9 verse 10 says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. For there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you are going. This is the only opportunity we have to be a blessing in somebody else's life. The only opportunity we have to make an impact in someone else's life is while we're breathing air, while we're above ground. In Romans 12 beginning with verse 3, Paul says, for I say through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. Stop right there for just a minute. You hear that? Not to think more highly of yourself than you ought to think. Well, don't you want to encourage people? Don't you want to lift them up? Absolutely. But recognize that everything we have, including the very breath we breathe, is a gift from God. David said, God is the one who teaches my hands to make war. David was a very powerful general. I mean, not only killing Goliath when he was a boy. Goliath had four brothers. All of them died too. Goliath was a mighty man of valor. He had people around him who were mighty men of valor. You know, he was not only a soldier and a general, but he was a champion. He says, God is the one who makes my hands, who teaches my hands to make war. God is the one who does this. God is the one who has blessed us in whatever way we're blessed. The scripture says God is the one who enables you to make wealth. Do you have money in your pocket? It's a gift from God. Even if it's like, well, I had to work hard to do that. Yeah, but who gave you the job? Who made that provision? God is the one who's taken care of each and every one of us. Continuing on, verse 4. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we being many are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. Again, stop right there. What has God given you, and what are you doing with what God has given you? In this Freedom and Liberty Conference, one of the things we're talked about is, you know, in the preamble to the Constitution, where it says we're endowed by our Creator with certain inalienable rights. Among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Those are just some of the things that God has given us. What are we doing with what God has given us? What are we doing with the very air He gives us? Are we living out our life for Him? Do we become a light and a witness to the people around us? Or do we just, you know, pull the covers over our head and, you know, just ignore everybody around us? I want to go be a hermit, live on top of a mountain. Yeah, that's helpful. You know, it's probably a good thing I don't have a bazillion dollars. Because I know where there's 17,000 acres for sale. And I'm pretty sure if you put a house in the middle of 17,000 acres, you don't have to worry about neighbors. God has made the provision that we need. Not always the provision we want. Not always the things that, you know, our ideas cook up. But God has given us what we need to do the task that He's called us to do. And He has gifted each and every one of us for His function, for His purposes, for His plans. Continuing on in verse 6. actually starting again at the beginning of verse 6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. Again, stop right there. When you hear ministry, what do you think of? Person standing behind a pulpit? You know what ministry is? Helping somebody. Doing something for somebody. You know, the prime minister of a country is the one in charge of making sure things get done. You know? Not just the person standing in the pulpit. We are all ministers. To minister is to serve, is to help, is to reach out to find a need and meet it. That's what ministry is. Again, in verse 7, or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation. What's exhorting? Lifting somebody up, encouraging somebody, saying, you can do it. God has blessed you in a wonderful way. Isn't it great what God has done in your life? You're like, oh, I don't know, you know, things are kind of bad. I'm like, well, can you stand? Because there's a lot of people that can't. Can you speak? There's a lot of people that can't. Can you hear? God has blessed us in many, many, many different ways. But we're like, I don't have anything going on. I don't have anything going for me. Wrong. We are created by the sovereign hand of an almighty God who loves us and has a plan and purpose for our hearts and lives. And he cares for us and he wants to use us and work in us. Continuing in verse 8, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Do you ever think being merciful is part of a gift of God? You know, that vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. Once we get that and we understand that, if somebody does us wrong, we can say, God's going to take care of it. Once we get that in here and get that in here and it actually begins working in our spirit, that's a gift of God. And we can be merciful to people even when they've done us wrong. We can be kind to people even when they've done us wrong. That is a gift of God. And it's because it's a gift of God, God has a plan for it and a purpose for it. Doesn't mean it's always fun. God's gifts are not always fun, but God's gifts are critical. They are important. And he has gifted each and every one of us in a way that fits his plan and his purpose. Ephesians 4, beginning with verse 1, says, what? One more time.
Did you purposely leave off the
I don't think so.
Did you read through 13?
Yeah. Now I might have had it on there twice. Oh no! I guess you're right. I guess I didn't. Oh yeah. There's a space. Space on the form. Okay, verse 9. You're right. I was wrong. Praise God, keep the pastor humble. We talked about that this morning too. So, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness, let love be without hypocrisy. Love people and don't be a hypocrite about it. Love people, really. Not love people, oh, I love you. Just don't turn your back on me. Love people. Hate, abhor what is evil, which is hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another in brotherly love. Care about people. That's what we're called to do, is to care about people. In honor, giving preference to one another. You Do you realize that God's going to take care of you? Are you aware of that?
Amen.
If I'm aware that God is going to take care of me, I can expend my effort trying to take care of somebody else. If I'm not aware that God's going to take care of me, I spend all my time worrying about how I'm going to get my needs met. And we become a stumbling block, and we become a barrier, and we become an obstacle to people seeking the Lord. Or people that don't know they're seeking the Lord, they just know their life is a mess. But if we can have that love, that grace of God poured out in us, the gifts of God working in us, we can make a difference in other people's lives. In honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence. You know what diligence is? Consistent, paying attention, pressing in, working on it. It says, not lagging in diligence. Don't put that on the shelf, oh, I'll get to that sooner or later. Don't procrastinate being focused on something. It's another way of translating that, another way of looking at that. Fervent in spirit, paying attention to the things that are going on. Understanding and looking around and asking God to open our eyes that we can see the things that are happening and understand what's happening. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Just kind of stuck in there, kind of a little afterthought. Serving the Lord. You realize when we are pouring out our hearts, when we are helping other people, that's part of serving God. Because it's using the gifts that He gave us for the purpose He gave them to us. Verse 12, rejoicing in hope. Praise God, God's going to do something wonderful. I may not know what it is, but I know my God, and I know my God is at work, and I know He's at work in the circumstances, and I know He loves me, and I know He loves you, and I know He's got something planned that is bigger, more wonderful than I can even imagine. I'm rejoicing in hope. I know God's going to work it out. I don't know how He's going to work it out, but I know my God is faithful. And I rejoice in that. I am thrilled to see what God is going to do. Next section, patient in tribulation. Oh, but we don't want to be patient when things are hard. No, Lord, You're supposed to rush us right through this. No. Sometimes we need to grow in the midst of the pressure. We've talked so many times here about how our faith is refined as silver and gold are refined. Silver and gold, they take the rocks, the ore, and they crush it up and they get rid of the dust that'll come off. And then they put it in a pot and they start heating it up. And the metal melts. And the impurities float to the top. And then they scrape it off. And when no more impurities are coming to the top, and it's still not pure, they turn up the heat and the pressure. Guess what? More impurities come up. As we're being refined, as silver and gold is refined, guess what? There's going to be times in our life where all of a sudden the heat and pressure come up, and something comes out of you that you didn't think was in there anymore. But we give it over to the Lord, and He scrapes off those impurities. He scrapes off that mess and continues to work in us. And you know when silver and gold is refined? You know how they tell? They can tell when the refiner looks in and sees a perfect reflection. The goal is to make us look like Jesus. My flesh does not look like Jesus. But He's at work on me, and He's at work in you. Continuing steadfastly in prayer. Don't give up praying. Steadfast in prayer. Distributing to the needs of the saints. Do you have somebody around you that you know needs a meal? Is there somebody around you that you know they have a need? Are your eyes open and your ears attuned to the Lord? Say, Lord, is there somebody that I can help? Is there somebody I can bless? Is there somebody I can make a difference in their life? Are we going to the Lord asking Him to guide us? He has given us these gifts for a purpose. To use them to bless other people. To use them to show His love. To use them to be a light and a witness to the people around us. given the hospitality, are we reaching out? Are we encouraging other people? Now we'll go to Ephesians. We would have missed a pretty good section, but my wife is wonderful back there and reminded me I was messing up. My wife is wonderful back there, even if she didn't remind me that I was messing up. Just want to throw that out there. Yeah. Ephesians 4, beginning with verse 1, says, I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling for which you have been called, for which you were called. Do what God called you to do. Walk in such a way that your very life gives glory to God. That we don't become a stumbling block. That we don't become a false witness. That we don't become a disgrace. Walk worthy of the vocation for which you were called. Walk worthy of the calling, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love. Lowliness, not lifting ourselves up, just doing what God called me to do. Gentleness, not fighting and defending ourselves, but trusting God. Long suffering. Who here has a problem with long suffering? Who here has a problem with how many times long-suffering gets stuck in there and told you what to do it? Absolutely. What is long-suffering? Remember, love suffers long and is kind. Being patient beyond patience. Lord, I pray for patience. And you get the turmoil. Okay, Lord, that's enough. No, it's not. No, it's not. We've got a clip on there. It's from it's a scene from Evan Almighty, the movie, where Evan's wife, those of you that have seen the movie, or those of you that have not seen the movie, it's a sequel to Bruce Almighty, which was really messed up. But Evan Almighty has some good points in it. One of the good points in the midst of it is Evan's wife is wanting a loving family. And she talks about that. And then her and her kids leave and they're in a restaurant. And Morgan Freeman, who plays God in the movie, is the waiter in the restaurant. And he's talking to her. And he says, if somebody asks for a loving family, do you think God gives him a loving family? Or does God give him an opportunity to love one another? We don't get the shortcut. We don't get all the way to the end because then we've missed the lesson. We're given the opportunity to love one another. We're given the opportunity to be patient with one another. We're given the opportunity to forgive one another. Now, what do you have to go through in order to get the opportunity to forgive one another? You have to be offended. You have to be hurt. But God allows these things to come into our life. Scripture says, God causes all things to work together for good. To them who love Him, to them who are the called according to His purpose. That means everything we go through, God has already accounted for. He's already planned for. Including our own foolishness and our own mistakes. He already knows that's coming, and He's already working it for good. Doesn't mean it's pleasant. Doesn't mean it's comfortable. It means it's not wasted. It's not useless. God is at work even in that. Continuing on in verse 2, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We try real hard to be unified with one another, to be peaceful with one another. Do we fall short? But do we try? Absolutely. Verse 4, there is one body and one Spirit, and just as you are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Or a southern version, in y'all. But to each one of us, grace is given according to the measure of God's gift. Again, we're talking about God's gift and that God is at work even in that. God is the one who has blessed us. We're called to telling this message, helping hands. But it's about how are we reaching out to the people around us? What are we doing? How are we working? Continuing in Ephesians, we drop down to verse 11. Says, and he himself gave some to be apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and pastors and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. Again, what's ministering? Helping, working, serving. The equipping of the saints to do what God called them to do. What God called us to do, not them, us. For the edifying of the body of Christ. Again, edifying, encouraging, lifting up, helping other people. Until verse 13, till we all come together, come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to a measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Look around you in the church today, not just this body. I'm not talking about in churches. Is there unity? Our job's not done. Paul, writing to the Ephesians back pushing 2,000 years ago, said, this is the job. This is the job description. This is what you're supposed to be doing. And as a body of Christ, as a body of believers, we're not there yet. Praise God for His long suffering. That He's been completely patient with us. But we're called to do that. Each and every one of us is called to encourage one another, lift one another up, to try to get the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. That's what we're called to do. We're not called to be identical. We've already talked about that. We have different gifts. We have different callings. We have different positions. We have different understanding even of Scripture. But do we love the Lord? And do we love His people? Jesus said, this is how you men will know you're my disciples, that you have love one for another. Not the great things, not these signs shall follow them that believe in my name, they'll cast out devils, they'll speak with new tongues, they'll lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. If they take up any deadly thing, it shall not harm them. These are signs of a believer. But when you go to the parable of the sheep and the goats, those that are called the goats that are cast into outer darkness, they said, Lord, in your name we cast out devils. In your name we healed the sick. And he said, I never knew you. It's not knowing who God is. It's being fully known by God and allow Him to touch and change us. It's not just knowing God can do anything. It is worshiping a God and surrendering ourselves to Him and loving one another. Verse 14, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men and cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things unto Him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effectual working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Now, what does that mean? It means God has made us to be members one of another. Those gifts that we have that we're supposed to use, whether it's prophesying, whether it's ministering, whether it's hospitality, whether it's financial or whatever the gift is, whatever God has given us. He has given us for the purpose of strengthening one another, the body of Christ. Those hands that He's given you, those tasks, those gifts that He's given you are for the purpose of building up people around us. Again, going back to what I said a few minutes ago, God is going to take care of me. God is going to take care of you. What am I doing to take care of other people? What are you doing to take care of other people? How are we reaching out to other people? I say it often. People sometimes look at me funny. Heaven is not our goal. Heaven is our destination. Our goal is to guide other people there. Our goal is to reach out to other people. God is taking care of me. My goal, my purpose is to be His hands and feet extended in someone else's life. That God get the glory. Going back just as a side note, for before I go down to the next book or next passage of scripture, there at the beginning of Ephesians 4, back in verse 11, where it talks about some, He gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. There was some discussion on this Wednesday night, and it didn't. What I heard afterwards was it went different than I thought it went. Put it that way. As a pastor, which I am a pastor by calling, not by title, that's what God made me to be. A pastor cares for the flock. I care about you guys. I'm concerned with teaching you. I'm concerned with encouraging you. I'm concerned with just reaching out and meeting whatever needs I can meet. That's who I am from the very beginning, you know. An evangelist like, well, most famous one of our age was Billy Graham, would go and, you know, teach these great big, you know, great big crusades. In fact, we went to a Franklin Graham thing 2 years ago now. The other day, exactly, the other day. You have today, yesterday, the day before, and the other day. The other day can be 40 years ago, but it's the other day. At the Franklin Graham concert, a huge evangelist. An evangelist comes in, or whether it's a big one like that or even just a street preacher, and their heart is to tell people about Jesus and to tell them about the saving grace of God and to prayerfully lead people to know the Lord. And then they're done. And then they go to the next group of people. And the next group of people. And there's nothing wrong with that. That is a function within the body of Christ. It is needed. But it's not who I am. You know, I can relate when Jesus told the Sidonian woman, I am not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He still reached out to him. We're all called to do the work of an evangelist. Don't get me wrong. Just because something's not your calling doesn't mean you can ignore it. If God puts somebody in your path to talk to about the Lord, that's your personal mission. That's your personal gift from God. But it's a different in understanding, a different in way of looking at Scripture, a difference in way of reaching out to people. Both are critical. They're just not the same. Again, another place. Yep, making sure I didn't have it down there and it wasn't in the passage I was about to read. Paul says, if the whole body were the hand, then where's the seeing? And if the whole body were the eye, how can you reach out and grab things? You know, we're all important. Each and every one of us, we're gifted and called in different ways to build up the whole body of Christ. Praise the Lord. Okay, now I'm going to 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4. It says, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are diversities of ministries, but the same Lord. I used to worry about all the different denominations and all the different groups of people out there. I even, worried about those that are teach something of a different gospel than what I read in the Scripture. And, you know, I would judge them, honestly, you know. Not correctly, but honestly. It's not the right thing to do. The right thing to do is to lift them up and pray that God would work in them and manifest His glory. And I was reading my Bible one day, and I had come across a passage where it talked about the remnant. Yeah, there's several passages in the Bible that do that, and I don't remember where this one was. But all of a sudden, I had this understanding that the Catholic Church is not going to heaven. The Baptist Church is not going to heaven. Individuals who are following the Lord is who's going to heaven. And in every group, those who seek the Lord will be found by Him. When Peter was at Simon the Tanner's house, Book of Acts, I don't know, 6, 7, around in there somewhere. I don't remember exactly where it is. Peter is at Simon the Tanner's house, and he's up on the roof. He's praying, and he sees this vision of a sheet lowered from heaven, and there's all sorts of creatures on it. And he hears a voice that says, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." And he says, "Not so, Lord, for nothing unclean has ever touched my lips." Sheet goes up. Sheet comes back down. "Arise, Peter, kill and eat." "Not so, Lord. I only eat clean food. I can't eat some of those critters." Real New English translation. Okay. 3 times it happens. 3rd time, when it's taken back up, there's a knock at the door. "Hey, we're from Cornelius. We're here to see Simon called Peter. Can we see him?" So Simon comes down. Simon Peter comes down to Simon the Tanner's house, knock on the door, the servants of Cornelius. And God said, "Go with them." So they went to a Gentile's house, which was against the law. And he goes and he shares the gospel with them. First, he gets there and says, "What do you want?" And Cornelius says, "I was praying, and a man came and stood next to me and told me to send for you, and that you would tell me what I needed to know." And Peter began sharing about Jesus. And as he's sharing with them, the Holy Ghost fell on them. They were converted. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. Right then, he was just talking to them, and the Spirit of God moved upon them, changed their lives. Peter had to give a defense for this later. "Why did you go?" "God told me to." Good answer. Best answer.
Amen.
But when Peter is giving his defense, referring to this, he says, "Now I know that whoever seeks the Lord will be found by Him." I mentioned a minute ago, all these churches aren't going to heaven, but the people who seek the Lord will be found by Him. And it really doesn't matter, broad sense. You know, I mean, you can get right down to it. There's some heresies taught in a lot of different buildings, and that's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about, if somebody is going to hear the Word of God and has a heart set to hear the Word of God, God will speak to them, will touch them, will move in them, and may move them out of there, or He may use them to bring light in there too. We don't know. But what we know is those who seek the Lord will be found by Him. And God has people gifted and put in places we might not expect. We might not understand. Those who seek the Lord will be found by Him. So when you pass another church, when you're flipping the channels and you see some well-known televangelist or whatever, rather than start looking for the problems in their doctrine, start praying that God would use them and stir in the hearts of the people to seek His face. Lift up other people in the body of Christ and build them up and encourage them that God do a wondrous thing. Use the hands, use the gifts He has given you to touch lives. 2,000 years ago, Paul says, we're doing this for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, until we all come together in perfection. And we're not there yet. My call, my heart, is to bring healing to the body of Christ. To bring healing between denominations and between churches, between people in them. that they might recognize that God is wondrous. And none of us has the whole story. Paul says, when that day comes, now I know in part and I understand in part, but when the perfection has come, that which is in part will be done away with. God has corrected my doctrine in a lot of different ways. And guess what? I'm not perfect yet. He is still doing it. And if he's doing it in me, I guarantee you he doesn't love me any more than he loves you. And he doesn't love me any more than he loves anyone who's calling upon his name. So we are called to lift up other people. God's going to take care of me. What am I doing to help somebody else? What am I doing to reach out to somebody else? I don't need to go up to somebody and say, hey, you know, you believe this here. You're wrong here and you're wrong here and you're wrong here. Like, no. Let's talk about the grace and love of God that took a poor sinner like me and has a plan and purpose for my life. Took a poor sinner like you and has a plan and purpose for your life to do wondrous things and to show his love and grace to a generation that desperately needs him. Okay, I have no clue where I was.
Starting on six.
Okay, praise God. For there are diversities of activities, but is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. God doesn't work in you by His Holy Spirit just for your good. He does it for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. Whatever God is doing in you, He is not doing it for you. He is doing it for the body. To encourage other people, to lift up other people, to bring that unity and that healing. Excuse me. But the one and same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. For as the body is one and has many members, but all members of that body being many, but all the members of that body being members are one body, and so also is Christ. We're part of one another. And not just us. We're part of Ignite. We're part of, you know, Essex Alliance. We're part of St. Amadeus. Those who seek the Lord, regardless to the name over the door, will be found by Him. Now to really mess you up. There might even be some Jehovah's Witnesses in that. There might even be some Mormons in that. There might even be some Seventh-day Adventists. There might be some... We don't know what's in a person's heart. God does. I'll tell you something really crazy. There might be some people that right now think they're Sunni Muslims, but are praying and God is going to draw them out. And God is going to touch them. There might be some people that are Buddhist monks that have an encounter with the Lord because they are seeking. They're walking in what they know, but they know there's got to be more, and they are seeking. And the God who is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, is reaching out. And if all we can do is be a barrier and a stumbling block, we get in the way of God. But we are called to use the hands and gifts He has given us to reach other people, to be a blessing, to show the love of God. That He gets the glory. Final passage. Verse 10, or Hebrews 10, verse 24. Says, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Yes, it says love and good works. It doesn't say consider one another to stir them up. No, to stir up love and good works. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another. Remember exhortation, encouraging, lifting up one another, and the so much more as you see the day approaching. In the last days, the love of many will grow cold because the love of many will grow cold, iniquity will get worse and worse. Do we see iniquity getting worse and worse? Do we see wars and rumors of wars, earthquakes in diverse places? Strange signs in the heaven and in the earth? Does that mean Jesus is coming today or tomorrow? I don't know. I don't know. But what I know is I can look out and I see this world is much, much worse today than it was when I was a kid. I see much more problems in the world around us today than I saw when I was a kid. The love of many has grown cold and iniquities get worse and worse. I want to leave you with one final quote. Heard this yesterday and it was important enough that I remembered it to write it down to include it. We've been talking about using our helping hands, using the gifts that God has given us. So here's the exhortation. Do what God called you to do. Nothing more, nothing less, nothing else. God made you special. God equipped you special. Do what God made you to do. And God gets the glory for it. Praise the Lord. Father, we do thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Father, that you have gifted us and called us. You have equipped us. You have made us able to do the task that you have placed before us. You guide our hands. You guide our steps. And you guide our heart, Lord, to draw close to you. You guide our heart, Father, to show your love. You guide our heart to recognize those areas where we fall short and to continue to submit them to you. Continue to be refined as silver and gold is refined, that we might do the work that you sent us to do. Jesus had the testimony, I do only the things my Father tells me to do. I do only those things that please my Father. Lord, we all desire this testimony, that we do only those things that please you. So Lord, continue to work in us and be glorified in our lives and use us to make a difference in this generation. We give you praise, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.